Don't you know we come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 123. Our History of Christianity scripture passage today is 2 Timothy 3:12, which reads, "Yea, and all that live and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Our History of Christianity quote for today is from A.W. Tozer. He said, "If we would indeed know God in growing intimacy, we must go this way of renunciation. And if we are set upon the pursuit of God, He will sooner or later bring us to this test." Abraham's testing was at the time not known to him as such. Yet, if he had taken some course other than the one he did, the whole history of the Old Testament would have been different. God would have found his man, no doubt, but the loss to Abraham would have been tragic beyond the telling. So we will be brought one by one to the testing place, and we may never know when we are there. At that testing place, there will be no dozen possible choices for us, just one and an alternative. But our whole future will be conditioned by the choice we make. Last time in the history of Christianity, we looked at the pagan reaction, Julian the Apostate, part 2. Today in the history of Christianity, we are looking at the pagan reaction, Julian the Apostate, Julian's religious policy, part 1, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, volume 1. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you appreciate this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1, by Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez. The book is available on our website for just $30. Julian sought both to restore the lost glory of paganism and to impede the progress of Christianity. Since the time of Constantine, paganism had lost a great deal of its ancient splendor in their minds. Constantine himself had not persecuted paganism, nor sought to force the conversion of pagans. But he has sacked ancient temples in order to obtain works of art to use in decorating his new capital city. Under his sons, there were a number of laws passed favoring Christianity. By the time Julian became sole emperor, the ancient temples were practically empty, and there were pagan priests dressed only in rags, trying to supplement their meager incomes in dozens of ways and paying scant attention to the ancient rites. Julian wished to bring about a total restoration and reformation of paganism. To that end, he ordered that everything that had been taken from the temples be returned to them. Following the example of the Christian church, he organized the pagan priesthood into a hierarchy similar to that of the church at that time. Thus, he divided his entire empire into regions, each with an archpriest who was above all the pagan priests in that region. The various archpriests of each region were under the high priest of the province, and these high priests were under a supreme priest, who was Julian himself. All members of this priestly hierarchy were to lead an exemplary life and to be concerned not only with worship, but also with acts of charity directed at those in need. While rejecting Christianity, Julian had actually learned a great deal from it. While this vast program of religious renewal was being organized, Julian took more direct steps to restore the ancient worship of the little g gods. He saw himself as chosen by them to do this work, and therefore, while he waited for the entire empire to return to its ancient faith, he was committed to render unto the little g gods the worship and the sacrifices that others did not render. By his order, there were massive sacrifices in which the little g gods were offered hundreds of bulls and other animals at a time. But Julian, who was a wise ruler, was well aware that his restoration of paganism was not as popular as he would have liked. People mocked his new ceremonies even while participating in them. For that reason, it seemed necessary not only to promote paganism, but also to hinder Christianity, its most powerful rival. Next time, my beloved, we will look at the pagan reaction, Julian the apostate, Julian's religious policy, part 2. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what we have learned today. Help us to apply it to our lives and help us to grow and with it and to or by it, to understand it. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight in a special way that we can avoid the mistakes of church history or Christian history, and do things better and right for your glory, your praise, and your honor. And for the salvation of lost souls, help us to never lose that fervor or that fire. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you. Don't you know it's true?